Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Janet McCutcheon with Work-Life Connections. I'm here today with Margie Gale, who's one of my wonderful colleagues here at Work-Life Connections EAP, who's an RN, and you do a lot of work, I know, with our nurse wellness program, Margie. Today we're going to talk about saying goodnight to insomnia, which is the title of Greg Jacobs' book. And I've certainly read it, and it certainly is a little different than the approach that we typically think of when we're trying to figure out our own insomnia patterns and how to address it. How is this particular approach different?
It actually focuses on the behavioral aspects, and I had the opportunity to go to Boston and take a workshop with Dr. Jacobs. He's done 20 years of research for Harvard, continues to work in this field. And instead of providing a focus on sleep hygiene, which is actually at the end of the course, this is a 5-session evidence-based clinical protocol that helps a person get relevant education and then gives them tools and develop skills for how they can help with their regular sleep schedule in keeping from developing ongoing insomnia. At the worst, it helps people break up cycles of chronic insomnia into more short-lived, where they can get better sleep and better sleep scheduling.
And part of what's different about this, I think, is the cognitive restructuring piece, sort of how we think about sleep. Could you talk a little bit about that?
One of the first points is that people get some education about sleep, that the optimum time to sleep probably is 7 to 8 hours, and that actually after 8 hours, that actually is not good help for us to sleep after 8 hours, that we get our core sleep and 5.5 hours of sleep physiologically, and then we may feel irritable to not get more sleep, but we can actually perform well. This is not to say that we don't need 7 hours of sleep,
right. But
people begin to worry about not getting 7 hours or 8 hours every night, so they begin going to bed earlier and earlier, and actually they're doing what I call the opposite. I urge people, we try to do what I call obey the laws of sleep.
Okay.
I've identified those. And by doing that, then we break up the cycles and can find sleep more easily if they do that. Mm-hmm. So the first cornerstone is information.
Right.
Another skill then we begin to focus on, we use a sleep diary. It's actually pretty easy, a sleep log.
Yeah.
And people begin to look at how much sleep they're getting, and when they would go to bed, and when they might wake up. And then another skill is positive sleep thoughts. It's something that may sound this simple. We actually have handouts and skills that I give people. They begin using that, and that breaks up the cycle of feeling as pressured about going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And there are actually a number of other skills too, but those are the first three that come to mind that people find quite beneficial.
And that particular piece that you're talking about sleep thoughts, part of what I think about with that is that, you know, often if we haven't slept well in a while, we have insomnia, and it is chronic, then we've developed a way of thinking about going to sleep that's, I would imagine, sort of rife with tension. Like, you know, we're looking at the clock thinking, oh no, it's time to go to bed. You know, here's another night where I'm not going to sleep well. So we can automatically feed ourselves these negative thoughts. Is that a little bit as similar to what you're talking about?
Exactly, Janet. So that, here's a positive sleep thought. Once you've been provided with a little bit of an education about the structure of sleep, a particular sleep thought would be, my performance will not suffer significantly if I get my core sleep. So if I'm getting 5.5 hours of sleep, I can perform, and by being positive, I'll get that much sleep. Then the next night, I'll probably be sleepy enough, I'll go to sleep. But I won't keep scheduling to go to bed earlier and earlier, thinking the longer I lie in bed, I might just fall asleep. It's a little counterintuitive. So we identify positive sleep thoughts, and then we begin to see the results from that.
Right. And in core, too, that sounds like, speaking of core sleep, is that it's not the number of hours necessarily we sleep. You know, I'm hearing that, too, that it's not 8 hours is some kind of magical number that we need to focus on. And that sounds like that's part of the negative sleep thought cycle, or could be.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to perform, especially mm-hmm. for people here. You know, we're high performers here at Vanderbilt.
Yes,
so people are thinking, I have a responsible person to get enough sleep so I can do my job the next day. And actually, people are probably getting their core sleep. But again, they ultimately want to get more sleep and better sleep. And this is a program that can help us help them do that. Now, along with that, another thing that I learned is that it is important that after about 6 or 7 at night, I not be getting any bright blue or white light that we get from our smartphone.
Right.
The TV doesn't have that light. It's not the TV. But from my smartphone or from my computer. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to just use their smartphone for speaking after 6 or 7 at night. And then we have a website where you can put a backlight that at dusk comes onto your computer. Mm-hmm. And many people have tried that, and it will put a yellow light. That is a non-energizing light that in the evening, if I'm going to do computer work, I would want that to come up on my computer, and it's safe for that to do that. It's free. You can download it. And then you see, if you happen to be on your computer at dusk, which I have been,
right.
I just see the blue light shut off, you know, go up, and a yellow, soft yellow light come up. And that is a light that allows us to feel less energized as we're moving towards that bedtime.
Right. We start to, it sounds like, kind of reprogram ourselves mm-hmm. to when dusk comes, then that light is a cue that is less stimulating for us.
Exactly.
So there are all kinds of tricks and tools involved in developing this cognitive restructuring, so to say, a different way of looking at insomnia. That's an excellent book, and I know that anyone who wants to come and receive some short-term counseling, which is what we're all about here, can do so. This is really helpful, Margie. Thank you so much
Absolutely.
For your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this webcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story or suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu. Thanks for listening.